Welcome to the Fandom Podcast Network's newest show, True Believers, covering everything that is the MCU. Here on True Believers, our Marvel MCU podcast, we will discuss the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming MCU universe on Disney+, including the connections to the original Marvel comics and how they relate to the past, current, and future MCU universe. Of course, as always, first and foremost, massive spoilers ahead because we are nose deep in Loki right now. So it's going to get interesting. It might even get a little timey-wimey. We've got a lot to discuss, but can't discuss the MCU alone here. So, of course, I'm Kyle, one of your co-hosts for this wonderful podcast. But, of course, I'm joined, as always, by my co-founder here at the Fandom Podcast Network. He is one of the hosts of Blood of Kings, Mr. Kevin Reitzel.
Nose deep in Loki, huh?
Yeah, well,
that was funny.
You know,
good to be back.
But of course, you know what we like to bring in a third for this. We like to bring in people who know what they're talking about, and we got a guy who definitely knows what he's talking about. Plus, you know, he might actually be from Asgard. He's got the connections. He, of course, is the other co-host of Blood of Kings and joined us when we looked at our MCU TV before Disney Plus perspective, Mr. Lee Fillingsness.
Hey, I'd just like to say that everyone from Asgard is puny by comparison to me. I got 4 inches on Hemsworth just in height, and yeah, he's a puny god.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say this is whether you're taller than him or not, you can't talk down to Idris Elba.
So would Hulk refer to you as, but big monster?
Hulk wears Lee Fillingsness underpants.
Well, of course, we got some other things going on here, too, around the MCU with our True Believers podcast, and that is our Facebook page. I just want to give a quick shout-out to Dave Fielding because he's doing an awesome job with that, guys. But we are here to talk some Loki. But before we do that, even, we got a little bit of Marvel news to discuss, so time to get your thwip, your snit, and your kapow on because let's talk Marvel news. Guys, there's some early reactions to Black Widow. Did you, first of all, have you gotten your tickets? Kevin, I believe you have.
I did. I ordered my tickets for the preview night on Thursday night, July 8th, which happens to be your birthday, if I remember correctly.
Yes, Marvel gave me a birthday present.
I think I got 6:10 showing, but not just any theater. It's the D-Box 3D showing. With the recliner seats and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to this.
So that's got the rumble in it too, right?
Yes, the rumble seats, basically.
Dude.
Yes. Yeah. What about you, Lee? Did you get tickets?
Oh, yeah. I got them the second they went on. We got some of the luxury AMCs up here. We don't have D-Box. They did not take off, even though they're awesome.
Interesting. Yeah, this will be my second time doing the D-Box. The first one I just did recently for Quiet Place 2.
Oh, yeah. I did them about 10 years ago. They premiered at the Mall of America. And the first one they did was The Terminator with Christian Bale. And oh, wow. I was
Salvation.
Yeah, I was sold when Moon Bloodgood headbutts a dude. And like the seat jumped. And it's like you felt for a second like you were headbutted by a really hot lady. So it was kind of cool.
Whatever happened to a Moon Bloodgood?
She did a couple series, never really took off, but
yeah. I will say this, there's a young actress on the show The Rookie with Nathan Fillion who is a dead ringer for a young Moon Bloodgood.
I know which one you're talking about. I've actually just been watching that show. I'm in deep into season two right
nose
now.
Nose deep
what you're talking about. Yeah, nose deep.
What does that even mean? Like
I don't know. Kyle, what happened?
Batman doesn't know, apparently.
maybe I was being influenced. Who knows? But let's get it on target before we go on Batman.
Yeah, back to Black Widow. The early reviews seem to be good. People are excited about this. And I can read a couple off here. I got some up here.
Yeah, go for it.
Perry Nemiroff says, "Dug Black Widow a good deal. Was kind of worried about watching this story unfold, knowing what's to come in Endgame, that it might diminish the stakes, but that wasn't the case. In fact, this is the kind of prequel story that feels bound to enhance other installments of the MCU." Another one here by Charles Murphy. Marvel Studios went for big Winter Soldier action beats in Black Widow and put together a couple of really intense scenes. They also went for some big Mission Impossible slash Bond scenes that I really enjoyed. ScarJo and Pew have great chemistry and are hot together. Third act feels choppy. Another one here was Black Widow is better than I thought it would be, although there's some great, excellent action when pulled. That what pulled me in was really the powerful theme and character moments the film presented. Easily Scarlett's best performance as Nat, and Florence Pugh is brilliant as Yelena. Let's see if we got a couple more here. By James Viscardi says, Black Widow has one of the best cast in a Marvel film. Scarlett, David, Rachel, and Florence all have scene-stealing moments that keep the movie moving briskly. It probably has the most action of any solo Marvel film, and I felt like I was on a roller coaster the whole time. These might have been cherry-picked by, I get this information from the MCU Exchange, but anyway, it looks pretty good. I don't know. You guys excited? I'm excited.
I'm definitely going to be there.
Yeah, I am excited. I'm kind of curious with this film in particular because it's been delayed for so long. How people are going to look at this, because I think this is the film that really is going to get kind of maybe stuck in the middle a bit, as far as maybe because of the delays, it's going to feel a little out of place. But I'm still looking very forward to it. I'm a big fan of Florence Pugh. I've been on her since Wrestling With My Family, the movie produced by The Rock about a young professional wrestler by the name of Paige. But I'm really excited for this film.
Question. This movie was supposed to come out a while ago. We all know this. So a lot of the early news that came out about it or teased about it, some of it may have been forgotten. Plus, we've got a couple of new trailers since then. Do we know if anyone else in the MCU that we know of makes an appearance, like a Tony Stark, a Captain America, or anything like that?
Surprisingly, Marvel has kept the lid on several secrets for this film. Right now, the only question is going to be is if they're going to continue to have the scene they had planned for Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character from Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plus, we don't know who's playing Taskmaster as well. So.
Yeah,
exactly. I had a weird thought on that. Bushmaster. Because we see him watching Bushmaster from Luke Cage. We see him watching Luke Cage fight and then learning how to beat him later. And that might be like his mutant power.
Yeah, I don't think
it's probably not right, but it would work.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it would, but...
Which one was Bushmaster again in Luke
Cage? He was the Jamaican Mershot guy.
Who?
The Jamaican guy in season two?
The guy from... The Jamaican villain from season two.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But we have other things besides Black Widow, even though, you know, I'm excited for Black Widow, too. I got my IMAX ticket ready to go for that. But we got a couple notes from the upcoming She-Hulk show, as news is starting to come out of that fairly quickly. There is a report out there that they are going to use the character of Scar, who is the son of the Incredible Hulk, in this series. This is going to be quite interesting because I don't know if you can... I don't see how Scar... I guess, let me take it back, because of Ragnarok and where Thor was on that planet, they could kind of pull it off. But Scar came out of a pretty big Marvel comic story called Planet Hulk. So I'm going, and they haven't done that really in the MCU per se. A little bit of stuff kind of leaked into Ragnarok. And that's
what Ragnarok was loosely based on when he's doing the arena fighting.
Yeah, very, very loosely. There's a lot of stuff that was left out from that, but it could be interesting. Scar was a very interesting character for a while in the MCU. He's been kind of pushed to the side of late, so I'm kind of curious to see how that's going to play out.
So Hulk can procreate?
Oh, yeah. Quite well, apparently. The other piece of news, which is I find even more interesting, is Jamila Jamil has been cast to play the Titana character in She-Hulk. Titana has been around. It was actually a character created in the 80s during the original Secret Wars miniseries by Dr. Doom. She's a muscle powerhouse. She can lift like 50 tons, things like that.
Is this the actress that played the friend in New Girl?
It looks like it. I'm not quite that familiar with her. She was in The Good Place, actually.
I never watched that, so I'm not sure.
To be honest with you, I'm not necessarily feeling this casting. She just doesn't... looked the part, and it's not anything to do with her heritage or anything like that. It's just she doesn't have the physical build for the part. Somebody who I actually had in mind was there's actually a professional wrestler for the WWE by the name of Sonya Deville, who she's got a fairly good sized build to her and kind of has that look. You put a blonde wig on her, she would have a good look for Titana as well. It's not a surprise they're going to use Titana in She-Hulk. She's been a major adversary for She-Hulk over the years, but I just don't know if I feel this casting on this, guys.
Now, it's a different actress than I thought. Jamila was in, looks like she's doing some voices here. Mira, Royal Detective, Rugrats, DuckTales, Jurassic World, Camp Cretaceous. So I'm assuming these are all voices. Crossing Swords. Yeah, it looks like she's done a lot of voices, but yeah, she did Good Place.
Yeah. So, real quick too, I don't know if you guys caught this or not. There was a picture that showed up on social media with Mark Ruffalo wearing the dots, and looks like he's going to be in She-Hulk.
We talked about that last week.
Was it last week? I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, that was in the news from last week.
I'm still getting my brain right. Are we sure that wasn't a deviant from the sacred time stream?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Okay. I believe a variant is what you mean. Yeah, right. I mean, it's low-key, so it could be a deviant. Yeah.
I'm getting confused. With that note, it's time to talk about episode 2 of Loki, the variant. But before we do that, Kevin, as always, would you care to explain how we do things here around True Believers?
We are a Marvel MCU podcast. We don't do segments. We do phases. And we've got 4 coming up. First, we got plot description, first reactions, and some cast comments. Phase 2, we've got some trivia. Phase 3 is where we dive deep, 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 deep into the plot analysis and the ties to the MCU and comics. And then we phase out with phase 4, giving our final episode thoughts, and maybe some next week's predictions. So, phase 1, plot description for Loki, episode 2, The Variant. Loki joins a TVA mission following an ambush by the fugitive variant of Loki in 1985 Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He wants assurance that the TVA will let him meet the timekeepers instead of disintegrating him, but Mobius figures out that he is stalling. Back at the TVA headquarters, Mobius convinces Renslayer to give Loki another chance. After research, Loki proposes that the variant is hiding in space-time near apocalyptic events like Asgard's Ragnarok, where the impending destruction means their actions cannot change the timeline, thus concealing them from the TVA. Loki and Mobius confirm this possibility by visiting Pompeii in 79 AD. The duo then figure out that the variant is at a hurricane in 2050 Alabama. Loki, Mobius, and TVA agents travel there. The variant ambushes them using body possession to control TVA Hunter B-15 and other locals. The variant rejects Loki's offer to work for them to work together to overthrow the TVA's timekeepers. The variant reveals itself as a female version of Loki. She executes her scheme, teleporting the TVA reset charges she stole to various locations in space-time, thus creating many new timeline branches. She teleports into a timeline, and Loki follows her. All right, let's get into some first plot descriptions and reactions. Lee, I want to start with you.
Well, first of all, when they go to the Renaissance Festival, none of those guys know how to maypole. That's a little dance where they're doing the ribbons around the thing. I train a lot of people at Renaissance Festival, and that's like a big thing at every last one of them. You don't just walk around in a circle. So all of my RenFest nerd friends really called that one out. Also, you don't all have to be in costume. And as you guys well know, there's always those kind of rival dorks that will show up in anachronistic costumes like Star Trek, away teams, stuff. Yeah. I thought that was kind of fun to see. I really loved Miss Minutes, being kind of a recording, but also sentient, and them not really answering the question.
And Loki trying to use the magazine to swap
header. Yeah, and honestly, you know, I mean, him being obsessed with you know, jet skis, or Mobius being obsessed with jet skis, who, by the way, it has to be said, looks like basically another Din Djarin, but a little bit more Midwestern.
I have a little trivia on that Renfair, by the way, a little bit later in the episode. Kyle, what about you? First thoughts and reactions.
Can I don't know whether I should call this show Dr. Loki or Loki Who, because that's what this episode felt like. It felt like a little bit of an episode of Doctor Who here. Hiddleston is fantastic, as always. But they are definitely pulling on some of those Doctor Who time string kind of things here, but I think it works. I love when Loki's doing the research and then he goes to ask the librarian what he has access to. That's classified to you.
I like how they got like the perfect person to play a like snooty librarian.
Yeah.
The one that you would expect to see in a situation like that.
But also, reminded me of White Collar, if you remember that show. You were saying Dr. White Collar.
Yeah. Yeah.
What reminded you about the librarian in White Collar?
No, I'm saying he was saying Doctor Who for this show. Loki reminds him of Doctor Who. This setup reminds me of White Collar.
What specific?
You've got a cop and a criminal joining forces, and you know, the criminal is kind of, you know, the big sexy dude, and the cop is sort of gruff and older.
Gotcha. You know.
I think one of the things here that I'm feeling is I'm starting to get the feeling things aren't really, the TVA isn't necessarily the good guys are making themselves out to be here. Something doesn't feel quite right, and I think Loki's starting to pick up on it somewhat, and I don't know if maybe Mobius is kind of like one of those just diehards and he doesn't see the full picture of the TVA.
Like he's kind of oblivious to what's going on. He believes in the general cause, but
yeah,
you know, there's like a Hydra aspect.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. I think the greater powers have a little bit more of an agenda than what that isn't quite so honest as they want to make it out to be. And of course we have the ending with quote unquote Lady Loki, which I know we are going to talk about that a little later in the show, but I have some beliefs on that topic.
Okay. Overall I enjoyed this, and I loved getting more out of the story. And, I like the fact that, you know, Loki figures out about, the time Loki variant using these holocausts to basically kind of hide out. And I like the fact that he says, you know, come on, at least believe me, because you know I love being right. You know, and I thought that was very funny and very like the character. And I love the filming locations, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit later. But I want to get you guys' opinion on this. And I was I've been hearing a little people kind of feeling the same way. Is this show more of a slash thinking man, slow burn MCU production? It seems to be slower paced than expected. Now, there might be a build up here, and you could say the same thing about WandaVision. But WandaVision kind of, you know, once it kind of turned the corner after episode 2, things really kind of started to go. But we don't have this WandaVision like, where the heck is she mystery and why is she doing this? Loki's thrown right into this whole TVA and timey-wimey adventurous stuff, but it's not moving very fast, at least. Kyle, your thoughts?
Couple of things here, and I agree with you, Kevin. Hiddleston is fantastic. Hiddleston as Loki is always gold. But there's something about this show that just feels a little off, and I don't know if it's because it doesn't feel as connected to the MCU as WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier did. Also, WandaVision, you had the mystery going. I think this is right now, it feels like this show is kind of riding on, you're here to see Hiddleston, you're here to see Loki, and it's not necessarily building itself as well as Falcon Winter Soldier did and as well as WandaVision did with everything around it. It's just like, oh, you're here for Hiddleston. And it does feel like it's a slow burn, especially because we know this is only a 6-episode season. Now,
Dave Feeling, you know, who runs our True Believers Facebook group, he also had commented after the first episode. He wasn't
in so many ways he wasn't really feeling it just yet. What about you, Lee? Is this are we on anything on this? Do you agree, disagree?
Hey, I disagree. I like the pacing of this. I think that for you know, in preparing for this episode, I actually rewatched Thor today. And Loki is constantly thinking and manipulating. He's not constantly acting. And for, you know, Loki's character to actually, you know, be realized in a way that's true to the character that he's built over the last, 10 years now. It couldn't be an action. It couldn't start off like Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I don't think it really even should start off the way that WandaVision did, because, you know, his real thing is mischief and he uses magic to make that happen. But it really is, he wants to outthink everybody. He wants to kind of play these mind games with people. And I think that setting a different pace allows for that narrative to play out, because otherwise it's just going to be a rehash of WandaVision. We already had that. I'm looking at this as the season as a story. I think episode 6 is going to decide whether this was the right choice or not. I'm not going to say what you know, the season is like by episode 2, but I'm liking the pace, and I do like that it does show Loki's intelligence, because we kind of skip that in like the first Avengers movie. We just know that he's bad, but we know that he's remorseful in Thor 2 for a little bit. But we're really actually getting to see the character that we've been aware of but never really seen. So I'm liking the pace.
Okay, cool. Some cast comments here, guys. We'll talk a little bit about Sophia DiMartino as the variant a little bit later. But we get a little bit more of Ravonna Renslayer. Hunter B-15, and we also got Sasha Lane, who played Hunter C-20. She was the one that was kind of like knocked out a little bit, and then she kept repeating some words and such. And of course we got Casey back, Eugene Cordero. Kyle, thoughts on the cast so far?
You know, it didn't register with me in the first episode until I did my rewatch of it after we recorded our first episode covering it, that the actress who plays Hunter B-15 was also the actress who played one of the main characters' sisters in Lovecraft Country. Mm. And so now that I made that connection, because I really liked what she did in Lovecraft Country, I think the cast here, this is kind of maybe where I'm feeling a little bit disconnected, is outside of Owen Wilson, I don't feel like we're diving deep into the cast. And I think maybe that was something that I felt with both WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier we got early on, was you felt like you started getting connected with some of the characters besides just your main antagonists here. And I kind of feel like we haven't quite gotten there yet with any of these characters. I think there's time. I think they've been putting all the focus on Owen, Mobius, and Loki here. So I'm hoping that in episode 3 we start seeing some of these secondary characters develop a little more so we can start feeling a connection with them. I think again, that's what I'm coming back to here. I think the cast is great and there's a lot of potential there, but I think the focus has been so much on Hiddleston as Loki and Owen Wilson that some of the other things are kind of getting pushed to the side a little bit.
True. What about you, Lee?
I like the little breadcrumbs that we're getting with Ravonna Renslayer. I feel like the whole, Franklin Delano Roosevelt High School thing is going to come back. Just like the weird little notices, you know, kind of the creepy office that she has, like that's not a good guy's office. So I feel like she's going to be kind of that turn. I feel like Casey has something to do with that. Either he's being manipulated or he's actually like the mastermind. I think he's very aware of how much power he has and doesn't use, you know, I mean, he's the one that says, oh yeah, we use Infinity Stones as paperweights. You know, that's pretty interesting. But I think if we get more on Hunter C-20, that'll be kind of the telling point. But, you know, again, I mean, this is a Loki show, and the more that it becomes ensemble, the harder it is to focus on him.
Glad you brought up Hunter C-20. This is Sasha Lane, the actress. She's the character, the hunter that had the kind of long braids, and she was kind of repeating stuff over and over again. Did any of you guys watch Utopia, about a group of young adults who meet online and get a hold of a cult underground graphic novel that has very weird and dangerous effects to the people that touch this graphic novel? And it was on Prime Video.
No.
Anyone of you guys watch this?
I actually watched the first episode and didn't get a chance to get back to it.
I watched the first couple episodes, and it got too weird and dark for me. And I just did not want to revisit it because it was twisted. But the actress that we're speaking of was the girl. Sasha Lane plays the girl in it that understands what's going on to a certain degree and connects with these people that are trying to avoid these people that are trying to kill them because they had seen or held on this graphic novel that apparently was released by this author, and it created this cult following, but people are dying because of it. And she was really good in it, very intense, so it was interesting to see her in a different role. But it's called Utopia. I might go back just out of curiosity to see what happens, but man, it was dark. It was twisted.
Sounds like it.
All right, let's get into phase two. We've got some trivia. There is a reference to David Fincher 7 in a needle drop when Loki tries to access more materials from the TVA library. The clerk he asked for help from is listening to Orchestral Suite No. 3 in D Major by Jonathan Sebastian Bach. This is the same music playing when Detective Mills, Brad Pitt, and Detective Somerset, Morgan Freeman, are in the process of searching the killers that are pursuing in 7. That's a deep cut. Mm-hmm. That's a very nerdy deep cut. But the song Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler plays during the opening fight at the 1985 Renaissance Fair. In the week between the broadcast of the first and second installment of Loki, trailers are released for Masters of the Universe Revelation 2021 for the Square Enix Guardians of the Galaxy video game, both which were featuring this song. Kyle.
First of all, whenever I hear that song, I keep looking for Kevin Bacon riding a tractor.
I know, right? It was the tractor chicken scene, you know, and his shoelace is stuck to the thing and he can't get off, so he's forced to fall through with it and he wins.
But I think she makes a lot of money off residuals for this song.
Yeah. Or whoever wrote that song, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode, you can see several locations from the past of the MCU on screen, including Vormir, Xandar, and Ego, among others. One of the files that Loki reads in the TVA confirms the destruction of Asgard was a Class 7 apocalypse, and 9,719 Asgardians died when Surtur attacked. That's not a lot of Asgardians.
Well, there wasn't exactly a huge Asgardian population in the first place.
Yeah, not a big place, I guess. As we mentioned before, and it's fun to mention this again, the interior of the TVA, when Loki and Mobius are in the elevator, looks to be the interior of the Marriott Marquis in downtown Atlanta. It not only looks to be, it is. Where the episode was filmed, CG added the Timekeeper's statues. Now, I had, and by the way, Lee, if you have not been to this hotel, Kyle has.
Oh, been. I've been
it
there.
Is awesome. It is,
yeah.
Oh, you yep. have been there? That atrium inside there is just phenomenal. But a lot of these scenes is you can go up to the 10th floor, and they have these extra big, like, atrium areas that are great for filming, and it obviously is a favorite here. It was also used in Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man film, and several others. I know... like the second or third Hunger Games was also filmed in this hotel. Very popular.
It also kind of reminds me of what's that hotel at Disney World where the monorail goes through it?
Oh, yes, yeah, the Contemporary. Definitely. Yeah. I've always wanted to stay there. It always seems cool. As I mentioned a little earlier, I was going to talk on the Ren Fair. In this episode, of course, a Renaissance Fair in the year 1985 in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, was filmed at the Georgia Renaissance Festival grounds in Fairburn, Georgia, which is, I think it's east of the airport because the airport is in southern Atlanta. The 32-acre village opens every spring and combines theater, people in costumes, and 200 artisans offering you medieval-ish stuff. So I had been to several Ren Fairs growing up as a teenager and stuff like that, and they were always kind of like roving camps that would be built in the middle of nowhere. Well, this place is built for Ren Fairs, and they have all of the Ren Fair shops and stages and petting zoos already. All it needs is people, animals, and food, and an occasional Star Trek fan. So
that's actually what ours is up here in the Twin Cities.
You have a full thing that's set up as well.
It's about 40 acres. Yeah. It's enormous. You know, shops. We've got actually a working water mill. We've got a pirate ship that somebody built as a stage. I mean, it's
so you could actually film like a TV episode there if you wanted to.
Definitely could, but they charge way too much.
Have fun storming the castle.
You think it'll work?
All right. We're going to take a break from our True Believers Marvel MCU discussion and let you know what other great podcasts are here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to these other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, discussing the latest in entertainment pop culture. Blood Kings, Immortals Take Notice, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theaters, where we celebrate our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie and TV pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville show. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our show covering the time-traveling Doctor Who universe with host Dan Hadley. Lethal Mullet, an 80s and 90s action film podcast with host Adam P. O'Brien. Also check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast with hosts Scott, Derek, and Nathan. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, a deep dive into the final frontier with hosts Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. And check out our newest shows, The Fandom Show, our monthly Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube exclusive show about the month's hottest topics in fandom, and the FPN True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming MCU universe, including the connections to the original Marvel comics. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on several platforms. Please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel to receive notifications of new podcast episodes and live events. You can enjoy all of the Fandom Podcast Network audio podcasts on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and iTunes. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. All right, welcome back to FPN True Believers Marvel MCU Podcast, episode 18. We are talking Loki, episode 2, The Variant. And this is where we get into phase 3, the plot analysis, the ties to the MCU and comics, where we get deep, 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 deep. And Kyle, I got a bone to pick with you.
That's okay. I've got a lot of stuff for this section.
I got a bone to pick with you.
Well, bring your bone. I'm ready to chew on some bone.
Nose deep.
You guys have dirty, dirty minds.
Okay, Batman.
You're just lobbing them slow for us there, man.
All I know is Catwoman doesn't complain. So
okay, so Kyle. Is it confirmed, or at least you've been saying rumors, that Kang the Conqueror is going to be the villain introduced in the Ant-Man movie? Is this true?
Kang the Conqueror is going to be the villain in the Ant-Man movie, and he has actually already been cast. He is going to be played by Nathaniel Richards, who was the lead in Lovecraft Country.
Okay. You being the comic nerd, after episode 1, when we were doing that reaction show, and we had Drew Kaplan on, how did you not mention that Ravonna Renslayer of this TV series had a romantic connection to Kang the Conqueror?
Did Drew let us? It was hard to contain Drew in that episode.
No, how did you not bring that up? How could you have not brought that up? Because, you did not say anything.
Because Kang has not been a factor into this series as of yet. And
it doesn't matter. A character that knows and has had romantic, from what I've heard, romantic relationships with Kang the Conqueror and she shows up in Loki episode one and you don't say anything? Come on, man.
Yeah, well, I want to see how they're going to portray Kang here first, because everybody's trying to speculate on a lot of things with Kang right now. People are trying to speculate that Kang is going to show up in Loki. A lot of people are speculating that Kang's going to be this major villain, but he's yet, right now as it stands, he's scheduled to make his first appearance in an Ant-Man film.
I'm giving you the shame finger right now. Mm-hmm. Shame. Yeah. Shame. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, we teased it. Sort of, not really teased it, but we said at the end of the last episode of True Believers, are we going to see Lady Loki? Because you didn't see any faces. Have we met Lady Loki? The variant in this episode is based on Lady Loki, a female version of Loki from the Marvel Comics, and Sylvie Lushton, a version of the Enchantress who was given magical powers by Loki. And this character is played by Sophia Di Martino, who is a British-born actress born in 1983 in Nottingham, England. Looks like she's mostly done a lot of English productions, including the movie I saw called Yesterday, about the guy who plays Beatles songs because there's something weird happens and the Beatles don't exist anymore, but he's the only one that has recollections of Beatles.
There was a Nexus event.
Yes. Yeah. And she was in that. But Kyle, I'm going to start with you on this, man.
We have not seen Lady Loki. I'm calling it right now. We have not seen Lady Loki. Marvel is pulling.
Why do you say that? Why are you hating on Lady Loki? What's going on?
I am not hating on Lady Loki. I'm just saying what we've seen is not Lady Loki. If you look in the credits identify the character's name as Sylvie. And you brought this up. Sylvie is better known as the Enchantress in the comics, but let's get a little deeper into this, because that's not the original Enchantress. The original Enchantress was an Asgardian named Amora the Enchantress. And there was a storyline where Asgard was destroyed, Ragnarok happened, and the remaining Asgardians took up residence in Oklahoma. Where at one point besides Wisconsin did this series end up in, or this episode end up? And right in that general vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, Oklahoma, all that good stuff. The character was a human being who Loki turned into the next version of the Enchantress named Sylvie. And she became the Enchantress in the comics. She was a hero and even a member of the Avengers for a short period. I think that Marvel is playing a little bit of trolling here, because I think...
You mean kind of like with Quicksilver and WandaVision?
Not quite to that extreme, but I think it's right now, it's this version of the Enchantress who is probably working for the true Lady Loki. I think...
So you're saying a Lady Loki could still... You still believe that they will bring Lady Loki into the fold, but this is not Lady Loki.
Remember, she kept saying, don't call me Loki. Don't call me Loki. My name isn't Loki.
And when did she say that?
As he's talking... As she's switching bodies in the Roxanne Mart, which we'll get to in a minute, she's like, my name isn't Loki. Don't call me that.
Hmm.
And okay. If you look at the costume, yes, he kind of made it look like it might have been an odd style Loki costume. I don't believe it's Lady Loki. I think we have yet to see Lady Loki, and I don't necessarily believe that's the actual variant either. But I will say this: they had some real fun with it.
Lee, what do you think?
I just think that we need Lady Loki so that we can have the theme song. Loki be a lady tonight. I mean, come on. That needs to happen, and Tom Hiddleston needs to sing it. I mean, come on. He would be like the perfect lounge singer. I want this to happen.
Please make that happen, Marvel.
I think that whatever happens, I think that's kind of a cool twist to throw at the end there. Especially the... kind of that passing off of the consciousness from one person to the next. Sort of like that Denzel Washington movie. Was that Taken? Fallen?
Fallen.
Yeah. Just great movie, but like...
Fallen?
Yeah. Denzel Washington is like hunting a demon that just goes from body to body.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
You mean Virtuosity?
No.
No. Different one.
A different Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe movie.
I don't think Russell Crowe was in that one.
Who was it?
John Goodman, James Gandolfini, Elias Koteas.
Okay. Yeah, no, but
it, man, that sounds like a stat cast.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It was a very good movie.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
continue.
No, I think I'd like to see where it goes, because I mean, we've already had that a little bit of a pump fake with you know, Quicksilver, as you said. And I do think that this would help kind of keep the Loki, you know, Loki Prime's death meaningful. Because, you know, I mean, he's alive now, and if we kind of keep him in the TVA, it, you know, it's not quite as bad as, say, Agent Coulson, but right. it still worked, you know, because we now know that this is not a reborn guy, all that sort of stuff. So I like it. You know, I don't know enough about the Enchantress or Lady Loki to say one way or the other.
Well, Kyle, I was hoping this would be a Lady Loki thing, because I've seen so much cosplay of this character. Yeah. I don't know much about the character or the origins, but it would be nice if this does come to fruition and they don't try to jerk us around like they did with Quicksilver.
One of the things, too, that you haven't mentioned yet is at the when they're kind of briefing to go on this mission, Morbius talks about all the different incarnations of Loki that have been variants. And he's flipping through them all on the hologram and things like that. So keep that in mind, too. But there's one other big tie-in I want to talk about in here, and that Marvel again having a little fun. Rocksmart, obviously.
Oh yeah, what's that?
Obviously, a reference to the company Roxxon, which is a major player in the Marvel universe. It's a mafia organization. It's kind of a mafia type cover for a mafia type organization, and it's been an Iron Man.
What comic series used Roxxon?
They've been used in several. Iron Man was a big series where the head of Rocks
Punisher,
I think, had some crossover. A lot of Marvel dealings have had crossovers with Rocks, and they're kind of up there in that kind of, think of it as corporate Hydra. So they probably make some great jet skis.
I thought it was funny that in 2053 we're still using old style vacuum cleaners. I thought that was kind of interesting.
They had the same Pepsi logo.
Yeah.
Like, that changes every 38 seconds here, but, you know, apparently we just stopped.
By the way, that was filmed at a mall. I think it was in near DeKalb Mall in, it was DeKalb or Decatur, I can't remember, outside of Atlanta. And they filmed that whole mall scene inside of an old department store that was no longer around, which, of course, Stranger Things has taken advantage of in the past. Mm-hmm. There, you know, malls that are vacant, which are kind of weird. They've been filming locations and stuff like that. So, was there anything else that jumped at you, Kyle, since we're in you know, the part where we're taking a deep dive into the possible connections of the comics? Anything else that jumped out at you?
I think the ending, where we'll just say Lady Loki for the moment, or the variant, creates all of these massive multiple timelines with the things she had stolen from the TVA.
Has anything like that happened in the comic Marvel thing?
Not to that extreme, but it's sure feeling like Loki is the show that is setting up what is going to happen in this little trilogy they've got planned with Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, and I think one of the other films.
Ant-Man,
as far as the multiverse and the time travel things and everything like
Quantumverse,
that. Quantumverse. But I mean, the multiverse of madness and things like that. It really feels like Loki is what's setting up maybe for those events to be the things that happen.
I just really hope that the TV shows that we're getting through Disney Plus get validated and really make an impact on the theatrical versions of Disney, of these Disney films, Disney MCU films, because I don't want stuff to happen like what's been happening in the old shows that we talked about on a recent couple episodes of, you know, the other TV shows where they're not even acknowledged, you know, and I'm hoping that stuff like this characters in these shows will make the jump to the big screen, and it would really validate the television series. So I hope that that happens.
I think that's a very good possibility, Kevin, because I think obviously the effects on the Scarlet Witch from WandaVision are going to play a big factor in the upcoming Spider-Man and Doctor Strange films. I also think that what's happening in Loki right now, the effects of this are going to be huge. I think we won't see the Captain America Winter Soldier things effect until later on in Phase 4 when some other films come out. I think a lot of what's happening with WandaVision and a lot of what's happening now with Loki is going to play a major factor after Black Widow.
All right, I got a big question for you guys. Actually, a two-part question here. Have you ever been jet skiing? And two, will this topic come up ever again in the series? I'm going to answer first. First of all, I have been jet skiing. I remember I took a vacation in the Florida Keys. That was awesome. Went jet skiing in Florida Keys. I'm wondering if this topic is going to come up as like, prove to me that you're the Loki that I know, like, you know, prove it to me that you're not like a variant Loki that's trying to pull one over on me type of thing by knowing this little conversation that he's had with Mobius. Just my thoughts. Lee, have you ever been jet skiing?
And oh, I love jet skiing. There's a comedian years ago that said, money can't buy happiness, but it can buy jet skis, and you can't be grumpy on a jet ski. You can't be just like, Eventually it's like, wee!
It's better if you do it in calm water, though, because you don't want to do it on chop.
See, I like the bounce, but I'm stupid that way. I think this will come up again later in the series, but I think it's going to come up like Tallahassee in Zombieland.
Where he just finally has a finally fun has his, yeah.
I think that's going to be like the button on the end of the series. I'd be like, hey, man, I'm just going to go out in this water, you know, and I'm just going to do some jet skiing and eventually start sounding
like I was taking a darker turn, like someone's captive or something. Like, prove to me you're the real Loki. What did we have a conversation about? What magazine did I have? Kyle, what are your thoughts? Have you ever been jet skiing?
I live in Florida. Of course I've been jet skiing.
I don't know. You were born in Alaska, and I bet you didn't do it in Alaska.
Actually, I did do it in Alaska. We had several large lakes we went jet skiing on.
Did you ski by ice?
Or what? We do have like summer in Alaska, Kevin.
Icebergs?
You throw a little wetsuit on and you're good in the summertime. But jet skiing's fun. I'm calling it right now. Final episode of Loki for this season, there will be a singer of Owen Wilson on a jet ski.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Let's head into Phase 4, our episode. Final thoughts and any predictions we might have. Lee?
Well, we touched on a little bit that the TVA might be bad guys. Two things make me think this. One, the completely callous way that they're talking about everybody at the Roxxon Mart. These people are already dead. You know, of course they're terrified. Yeah, but they don't need to be scared of us. Like, I think everyone else is on one page and Owen Wilson's somewhere else.
Yeah, that does seem rather heartless the way they're just kind of mentioning stuff like that.
Okay, can I interject something here on that real quick?
Yeah.
First of all, the TVA agents are not human beings. We've got to make that clear. And they know what's happening to these people in time. They're already dead. They can't. They're not going to interfere and save these people. Yes, it seems a little heartless, but that's the environment they've been.
Well, Mobius seems to have some heart there.
Well, but I think
he's at least like human? He's like not trying to scare them. Like the others are just being complete jerks.
Yeah. So.
Being but, less you know,
is he an earthling? Is what I'm trying to say.
No, I don't think he is. But I think there's more to be revealed about where the agents of the TVA come from.
Did he steal his jet ski magazine when he did a little time jump, or did he buy it honestly somewhere? Hey, how did he get that?
You know how you mysteriously lose those magazines every now and then, Kevin.
Yeah. Anyway, Lee, go ahead.
The other thing, and this was, I had to look it up to see if I was right, but that long shot on the elevator when they go past the three statues of the Time Lords.
You mean Dragon Con? Yeah.
They're doing a very specific pose, you know, and they've got basically the right hand out here and the fist below. And in Iron Fist, that's actually the way that Bokuto, who we later learn is a bad guy, teaches the Iron Fist to center his chi. And so we know that this is a bad guy's technique already. And to introduce this also before...
That's a deep cut, bro. That's a little bit of a reach.
We're also going to the Ten Rings here pretty soon.
But wait, hold on. Isn't that a common thing to do, though?
No, usually it's the fist in the hand. But to go below like this, the way that they're specifically doing it, I've not done that in any martial arts before.
Okay. No. All right. I'm going to let you keep that.
The other thing I was going to say is Hiddleston is really good at speaking Latin. He spoke it as like it's a tricky one to speak, and especially to speak.
You've learned Latin.
Yes, I have, and I've actually had to teach actors how to say Latin. And he spoke it as dialogue rather than recitation, and it was really impressive. So as if there was another reason to love / hate Tom Hiddleston, he is a linguist, and he's very good.
Why do I feel you now have a man crush on Tom Hiddleston because of that?
He has a man crush on me. He's been obsessed with tall, broad-shouldered, long-haired Norwegians for a long time. You know, like that's been his crux. He's like, Thor, I want to be Thor when you're done with me.
Do you have any predictions for next week? What do you think we're going to see?
I think that things are going to go crazy. I think that this is going to go right towards the end. I think we're probably going to have like a whole big dialogue exposition.
You think the pace is going to pick up from what I was saying?
Yeah, I think the last 10-15 minutes of this episode are going to be crazy, but we're going to have a lot of dialogue, and there's going to be a lot of tete-a-tete between Loki and Sylvie.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so that'll be interesting. Yeah. Kyle, your final thoughts and predictions?
Very interesting episode again. Hiddleston is carrying this show right now, and he's doing it beautifully. As far as predictions, chaos, that's what this next episode is going to be all about. But I think the biggest question for everybody going in is, where did Loki end up going through that portal? I think that's a big question, and I think there's going to be another reveal before the episode is out, whether it's Lady Loki or somebody else. I think we've got another major reveal of something in this episode. And I think we haven't seen the last of Kablooey either. So
the gum. Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting. I think one of the things that makes some people feel that this is kind of too much of a slow burn, it's not as fast pace out of the gate as we were kind of expecting it to, is the lack of new characters that we're meeting out of these first two episodes. Of course, boom, at the end here, we get this Lady Loki-ish type girl. But I'm hoping, because when you look at the characters, the newer characters that started being introduced in Falcon and Winter Soldier by two episodes, and of course, WandaVision, I'm hoping that's what we get as well. We'll get something crucial, a character that's very important. Whether we met this person or not, or have heard of this person, doesn't matter. But seeing new characters and how they get involved with that, I think would be really cool to see. And I'm hoping to see that. I'm predicting that we'll see that. Kyle.
One of the things, too, is I hope with the chaos that is going on at the TVA, apparently, we are going to get a chance to see some of these other characters from the TVA get a moment to shine, a moment to step up, and maybe a little bit more character development with them.
I do have to ask you guys a quick question that just came to my mind here. So one of the things we've enjoyed about seeing Loki is the character development, seeing this tyrannical Loki in the first Avengers film, and then we kind of getting a redemption arc until we see his death at the beginning of Infinity War. With this Loki trying to kind of prove himself to a certain degree, do you think that we will get a redemption arc? He obviously makes the choice to go through the time portal to chase after this Loki variant, whether it's female Loki or whatever. Do you think that he's going to prove his trustworthiness to Mobius by returning and helping out in some way? Or are we going to leave this series with him still being the god of mischief and him not learning anything, basically, and not trying to be a friend to anyone and kind of just be out for himself? Lee?
I think somewhere right in between what you said. I think I want him to stay the god of mischief, but I also want him to be Mobius's friend. Mobius is like, I'm a fan, man. You know, he's got that appreciation for who Loki is. And if Loki changes, if Loki has a redemption arc, I'm bored with that already. We've had enough of that. Mm-hmm. We've already had Loki's redemption arc. If we have Loki being true to who Loki is and having a friend, I think that's better writing. You know, I mentioned the show White Collar. You know, it's been off the air for about 7-8 years now, but it was on USA. Same relationship. This guy was still a thief at the end of the show, and he's still friends with this FBI agent. And I think that if you write it well, it can be very entertaining. But if it's suddenly he becomes, you know, a clerk in a store, you know, that's not the character. He's no longer, you know, I mean, even look at Nobody, which we all loved. He's not
the movie. Yeah. Nobody. Yes.
He's not happy as the new guy. He's happy as this killer that he used to be. And he's fully realized.
Right. Kyle, what do you think? What do you, kind of Loki are you hoping to see? And what do you think you'll get?
We are always going to have Loki as the god of mischief. And even to his end, even in Ragnarok and in Endgame. Yeah. He ends up kind of playing the right side, but Loki's still all for the most part going to look out for Loki. And yes, in Endgame or in Infinity War, he sacrificed himself in trying to stop Thanos. But he stopped for a second about the Tesseract. He didn't say he had it right away until like. So I think it's more of a crisis of conscience for Loki. I think by the end of this series, I think if nothing else, if whether him and Mobius are friends or if there's like at least some respect level between the two of them, I think that's what you could have. But we're still out of Loki. I think when this is all said and done, Loki's primarily is going to look out for Loki above all else.
Yeah, I want to see not necessarily a redemption thing, but I want to see him have a friend, someone that, you know, went out on the limb for him and he kind of returns the favor. I can see him and his Loki ego wanting to definitely take care of these Loki variants because he wants to be the Loki. He wants to be the one they're talking about. He wants to be one to be right. So him defeating them or whatever it is, obviously I'm hoping that we'll get to see that. But I just hope that he does find a way around to where him and Mobius will be kind of a, you know, on a friendly basis later and help each other out. So, well, that's cool. Kyle, take us out, man.
Of course. You know, well, this is True Believers, a Marvel MCU fandom podcast you've been listening to. And you can follow us in all kinds of ways. It starts, of course, with finding us on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com, where you can find all the great podcasts of the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, we also have the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel. Subscribe there. We got all kinds of fun original things we got planned for that. And you can find these audio podcasts on our YouTube channel. And of course, as I mentioned at the top of the show, our Facebook group, headed up by the wonderful Dave Fielding. He might be a variant himself. I don't know. We haven't classified that yet, but he does a phenomenal job with our Facebook group. And of course, you can contact us if follow the Facebook group for True Believers or the Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, or on Twitter at FanPod Network. As for us individually, you can follow me, Kyle, on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you?
You can find me, of course, there at the True Believers Facebook group, Fandom Podcast Network, but you can reach me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And Lee, when you decide to bless the sacred timeline with your presence, where can people worship at your altar?
You can find me in the cafeteria ruining everybody's salad just to make a point. otherwise, you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at The Way of the Way.
And there are a couple ways you can support the True Believers podcast and the Fandom Podcast Network. Visit TeePublic. We are working on getting some True Believers gear up there, but we have gear for all of the wonderful shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Go to TeePublic.com and search for the Fandom Podcast Network. And, of course, we love reviews as well on iTunes especially. Give us those 5-star reviews on iTunes /Apple Podcasts. We love the reviews in general because, as always, we're trying to make better podcasts to feed your ears. Now, before we close out, we also have a tradition around here. Kevin, who is learning about Marvel Comics through doing this podcast, because while he might be well versed on the MCU, we're still giving him a comic education. And as part of that, we are awarding Kevin Excelsior points. Kevin, you've scored some decent stuff lately.
Even though I berated you about not telling us about Ravana and Cola Canker and all that.
I haven't rewarded your Excelsior points yet this week, so. But you know, since you decided to brought that up, we're going to give you 10 Excelsior points. But, Kevin, those 10 Excelsior points have been predetermined, and we're sending you to Tahiti, Kevin.
Jet skis?
It's a wonderful place.
That's all I want. Call up Agent Coulson. He'll fill you in on the details.
Woo, Tahiti.
Woo, new Kevin.
But with that, we want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you to my wonderful guests and co-host, Kevin. It's always fun to get into a little mischief.
Lots of fun. Lots of fun.
Yep. Lee, do you think we managed some mischief this week?
I think so. I think next week's going to be even more trouble.
Next week could be timey wiry, wibbly wobbly. I wouldn't be surprised if Marvel didn't sneak in a pick blue blocks flying by on some screen or something like that. It looks like it's going to be a little bit crazy. But
they even mentioned that in episode one. Aren't you the guy with the blue box? I'm like, oh, how did I miss that, Doctor Who?
They are having some fun with that. But until then, until next week, where we will be covering everything that is Loki episode 3, as well as anything other news in the Marvel MCU. We just, as always, will say thank you for listening. And until next time, make ours Marvel.